Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the gifts of tongues. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this opportunity to open up your very words, to study them, to have the Holy Spirit as our guide and teacher today, Lord. And I pray you'd bless the listener today. I pray you'd encourage the saint of God to study your word, to lift them up, Lord, to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray also for someone that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in their heart that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save them from a sinner's hell and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. Have your will in your way. And we ask it all in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last time we asked the question, we left off, why did God use tongues? And we saw, first of all, that God used the gift of tongues to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. And then we saw, second of all, God used the gifts of tongues as a sign. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign." And we saw that the primary reason for the use of miraculous tongues in the book of Acts was God was showing the Jewish nation that Gentiles could indeed be saved. Amen. One of the biggest stumbling blocks before the New Testament Jew was the whole concept that Gentiles could be saved without becoming Jews. You see, for a Gentile to become a follower of Jehovah God in the Old Testament, that he had to become a proselyte. In other words, he had to convert to Judaism. He had to be circumcised and follow all of the law. However, in the New Testament church, such a conversion to Judaism was not necessary. God had accepted Jew and Gentile alike. This fact was incomprehensible to the Jewish mind apart from the direct confirmation of God via the miraculous signs of gifts, or the sign gifts, amen. The miraculous sign gifts that we've looked at before, and of course, tongues is one of those sign gifts. And then we started to look at some things. We saw that the Old Testament Jew had no use for anything Gentile. And then we saw the Old Testament Jew had no use for Gentile languages. And that's where we left off. And where we want to pick up is, we want to see that the Jewish nation identified Hebrew as the language of God. Now, rabbinic tradition taught that Adam and Eve, Noah, and all the Bible characters spoke the Hebrew language. Likewise, the rabbis teach that Hebrew was the one language of Genesis 11:1 that was confounded at Babel. Now, whether this is true or not, Jews throughout history have considered Hebrew to be God's language. Now, we have already seen that it was Hebrew that was spoken in heaven in Revelation chapter 19 and also in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. Now, when Jesus spoke to Paul, a devout Jew from heaven on the road to Damascus, what language did he speak in? Well, we find the answer to Acts in Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Acts 26, verse 14. We read this. And when we are all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The weight of scriptural evidence even appears to point to the fact that we all may be speaking Hebrew someday when God reverses the curse of Genesis chapter 11. I want you to note the following passage that has the future battle of Armageddon and the earthly kingdom of Christ in view. For that, I want you to turn with me to Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah, in chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9. And this is what we read. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Here it is now, listen carefully. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Another thing we want to see, thus for Jews to hear God miraculously reveal himself in a Gentile language, which was both unprecedented and an incredible confirmation that he was at work. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. Again, turn to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read the following. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Let's stop there. Why were they confounded? Well, let's read on. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Heard who speak? The Jewish apostles. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And then we drop down in Acts chapter 2, the verses 11 and 12, and we read the following. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Now turn our attentions to Acts chapter 2, and we want to see the use, or look at the use of tongues in the book of Acts. Now, we've been looking at different verses and passages in Acts chapter 2, but we're going to start at verse number 1 of Acts chapter 2. So I'll have you turn, if you're not already there, to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 12. So we're going to look at tongues in Acts chapter 2. And we read the following. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Greeks, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all marveled and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Now, I want us to make some observation of what we just read. First of all, only Jews are present. This is a Jewish feast day in the Jewish capital of Jerusalem, with only Jews and proselytes present. Now, we're in Acts chapter 2, and we want to compare in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 22. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 22. We see, but Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and he identifies the audience, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Then in verse 22, Paul identifies the crowd that he's speaking to, who's present. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Ye men of Israel. Another observation we want to make is only the apostles spoke in tongues. The apostles are the they of verse 1. Amen? Now, we want to compare. We want to turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Again, the they here in Acts chapter 11, verse 26 is referring to the apostles. See? Also, again, going back to Acts chapter 2, in verse 7, first of all, And they were all marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And then in verse 14, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of brethren, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now, we see, as we compare the they in verse 1 that appears, applies to Acts chapter 2, which says, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The they there is referring to the apostles. Now, when we looked at Acts chapter 11, verse 26, Acts 2, verse 7, and Acts 2, verse 14, it's referring to the people listening, the people who would get converted. And what we want to see is none of the 3,000 converts save that day who received the gift of the Holy Ghost are recorded as speaking in tongues. The only ones who spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2 were the apostles. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We read, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 41, Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So none of those converts spoke in tongues. Only the apostles there in Acts chapter 2. And again, we want to see another observation is the tongues were specific known Gentile languages. Again, look at the context of Acts chapter 2. Another observation, this miraculous gift of speaking in tongues of these different known languages, the miracle was a direct result of the working of the Holy Spirit with no one laying hands on anyone. Amen? Look at this. Acts chapter 2 again, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. See, that miraculous gift of speaking in tongues was a working of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. And then the last observation we want to make as we look at tongues in Acts chapter 2 is the purpose of the use of tongues on this day of Pentecost was to confirm the new truth being preached by Peter as being genuinely from God. So we see tongues were a sign. Now we want to look at tongues in Acts chapter 10. What we're doing here is we're going and we're looking at the use of tongues in the book of Acts. We first looked at it in chapter 2 of Acts. Now we want to look at the use of tongues in chapter 10 of Acts. Now, in this chapter, Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his family. Now, Cornelius was a very devout Gentile man, but he was still lost. Remember that up until this point in the book of Acts, no Gentiles have been saved. The church has been 100% Jewish, or half Jewish, half Gentile, in the case of the Samaritan believer in chapter 9. At the end of this passage, Peter begins giving the personal application, urging his hearers to believe in Jesus for their sins to be forgiven. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 10, if you're not already there, and we want to look at verses 43 to 48. Acts chapter 10, verses 43 to 48. To him gave all the apostles witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, and of course they of the circumcision is referring to the Jews, which believed, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know? What was the evidence to those Jews that the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out upon the Gentiles? What was the sign? Remember? What was the sign? The Jews require a sign. Well, here's a sign. How did those Jews know that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the Gentiles? Here it is. For they referring to the Jews, the circumcision, for they heard them, the Gentiles, speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, upon returning to Jerusalem, Peter is confronted by Jews who fault him for fraternizing with Gentiles. We need to turn to Acts chapter 11 and look at verses 1 through 3 of Acts 11 together. Acts 11, 1 through 3. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Now, here we are. They come up. The Jews come up. Confront Paul, saying you fraternize with the Gentiles. Now Peter explains himself in part as follows. If you'll turn, we're in Acts 11 right now. We want to look at verses 15 through 18. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now let's look at some observations. First of all, both Jews and Gentiles are present. Peter had six Jewish brethren with him as witnesses of this event, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 23. Acts 10, 23, let's go there. And then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren with Joppa accompanied him. Let's compare that with Acts 11, verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And Paul's reaccounting to the Jews that he took six brethren from him, from Joppa, to Cornelius' house. Another observation. Only these converts spoke in tongues, not Peter or any other Jews. And as soon as Peter told his hearers that they needed to believe in order to receive forgiveness of sins, in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, each believed and was immediately indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, another observation. The Spirit allowed these converts to speak with new tongues or languages without any need for hands to be laid upon anyone. The account of speaking in tongues was a specific sign to the Jews that Gentiles could be saved in exactly the same manner that the Jews had been saved by simple faith in Jesus. The sign of tongues was what convinced Peter, the six Jewish brethren, and the Jews in Jerusalem that Gentiles could be saved just as the Jews could. This sign immediately ended all debate on the topic. Let's look first at Acts chapter 11, verse 18. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." And then later on in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 through 11, when you had the council get together in Jerusalem to once and for all talk about how Jew and Gentile were saved, because some were still saying that Gentiles had to come under the law and be circumcised, all the church fathers get together, and in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 to 11, we read this: "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe," here it is, "that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." There it is. Once and for all, Jew and Gentile were saved in simple faith in Jesus Christ. We still have a ways to go here on our study on the gifts of tongues, and we'll continue that next time on the pastor's study. Again, I want to just mention the folks that I've had a book published entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. If you drop me a line, tell me you're listening to the pastor's study, I will send you that book absolutely free. So at the end of the broadcast, you'll be given an address, where to reach me. Love to hear from you. Send me a letter, tell me you listen to the pastor's study, whether you like it or you don't like it, it doesn't matter. But if I get that letter, I'm going to send that book right out to you, as a gift from me to you, for being a faithful listener to the pastor's study. Well, my friends, time has gone by. Once again, till we meet again on the pastor's study, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. And my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for joining me today on the pastor's study, and good day.